Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem's Baruch on Daf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. In our previous shir, the Gemara quoted a machlokes of Rav Elazar and Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni regarding the cows who had returned the Aron to the Beis Hamikdash to the Klal Yisrael in the time of the Plishtim. So now the Gemara brings another machlokes. The pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael and Yeshua, the pasuk tells us that when Yeshua went to battle with the five Malchei Hamori, what Yeshua was able to accomplish is he was able to cause the sun to stop its movement. And when the sun moves, this is the way many Rishonim learned the Gemara, the movement of the sun in itself is a Shira. The pasuk says, V'yidam HaShemesh, the sun sits stood still, v'yerach amad, and the moon stopped, ad yikam goy oivav, until Klal Yisrael was able to take revenge from its enemies, haleik suva asefer yosher, and the pasuk says that this nes is already taught to us in the sefer yosher. So first ask the Gemara, my sefer yosher, what is meant when the pasuk says sefer yosher? Says the Gemara, Amrav Chibar Abba, Amrav Yochanan, says, Sefer Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, it's Sefer Bereishis, where Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov are mentioned, Shenikru Yisharim, and they were called Yisharim, and because they were called Yisharim, the Sefer which speaks about them is called Sefer Yosher. Shenemar, as Bilam, when he curses Klal Yisrael, says, Thomas Nafshi Mosh Yisharim, he asked that he should merit to die the same way that others of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov were nifter. The reason that the sun had to stop during that battle was because the battle was taking place on Erev Shabbos, and they did not want the Klal Yisrael should be Mechal Shabbos, so that's why the sun stopped. And the stopping of the sun, as we said, represents the stopping of a Shira, because the purpose of the sun, and as the sun moves through the sky, it's called a Shira. And what by Avram v'Yitzchak v'Yaakov, the pasuk says by each one of them, Gevi'ah, a special form of death. And Bilam requested that he should merit to have that type of death. Says the Gemara that Vilhechremiza, that where in Sefer Bereishis is there a remnant, is there a hint that that's what's going to happen, that the sun will stand for Yeshua? Because the pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to Ephraim, the pasuk says, from whom Yeshua we know descended, the pasuk says, all of the world will tremble because of Ephraim's descendant. When will that be? When the sun stood still for Yeshua, the descendant of Ephraim. The pasuk says regarding that episode, the pasuk says that the sun, it seems, stopped moving twice. Once when it was in the middle of the sky, and once before the shkia. The kama, how long was that? It was 24 hours. And the Gemara gives us the calculation. From the beginning of the day, Ozloshit, the sun went for 6 hours until it reached the middle of the sky, kamshit, and then it stopped going for another 6 hours, as the pasuk says, v'yamer hashemesh kechatzia shemayim, and then ozlshit, and then it went for another 6 hours, v'kamshit, and then it stopped for another 6 hours, because the pasuk says, v'loy otzlovay. So says the Gemara, kula milsa, the entire day, from Alois Hashachat, says Kechavim, Kiyoim Tamim, was the amount of a usual full day. Usually we know it takes 24 hours. Here, 12 hours for the day from the sun comes up to the sun goes down. Here was a total of 24 hours. The Mefarshim point out why, Masha asked the question, why did it need two times? Why couldn't it have all happened in one time? So Masha gives two terutzim. One terutz the Masha suggests is because the sun, is because Yeshua did not have the ability, did not have the schus, that it should stop twice for him. So that's why, to stop once for such an extended period, so that's why it had to stop twice. That's one pshat that's offered. The other pshat that's offered is it stopped twice to represent that it stopped once in the schus of Klai Yisrael, and it stopped once in the schus of Yeshua. Rav Lezer says, Shloshim v'shit. That day was not 24 hours long. It was actually 36 hours long. And how does that work? Ozel shit. It went for 6 hours. The Kum Tracer, then as it got to the middle of the sky, it stopped for 12 hours. And then Ozel shit, and then it went again for another 6 hours. The Kum Tracer, and then again it stopped for 12 hours. So now we see that Amidosai, what the Pasuk is teaching us, is that the amount of time that the sun did not move was Kiyoyim Tamim, the amount of a full day. The amount of a full day, of course, we know is 24 hours. So that was 24 hours plus the 12 hours of the day equals 36. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Omar, that the amount of time that that day was a total of Arba'im v'shmoina, was 48 hours. Because what happened? Ozel shit, the sun started the day by going 6 hours till it got to the till middle of the sky. The Kum Tracer, and then it stopped for 12 hours. Ozel shit, it went for another 12 hours. The Kum, and stopped at that point, it didn't stop for 12 hours. It actually stopped for Esrim V'Arba, for 24 hours. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, V'loi Otz Lova Kiyom Tamen, the sun did not move, the time of takes for a whole day. And the whole day is 24 hours. Then what the Pasuk is saying is that the second time that it stopped, that's when it stopped for 24 hours. The first time, it didn't stop for that much. It stopped for half the amount of time, which was 12 hours. The Mekar Alav Kiyom Tamim Hava, the first time it stopped, it did not stop for such a long duration. So we have 6 plus 12 plus 6 plus 24 equal 48. Ikka the Amri, there's a different version. It says the Gemara, that according to this version, how there was no machloikis, how long that day was. The Tosefta Pligi, they're arguing how many extra hours were that day. Rishu ben Levi, Am Esra, Arba, 24 hours were added today. Ozel shit, the sun went for 12 hours. The Kum Tracer, then it stopped for 12, went for 6 hours. It stopped for 12 hours. Then Ozel shit, it traveled 6 hours. The Kum Tracer, and stopped for 12 hours. So Midosai, the amount of time that the sun did not move was Kiyom Tam, the amount of time it takes to take a full day, which is 24 hours. Rabbi Lezer says, Shloshim v'sheish, there was 36 hours added to that day. Ozel shit, it went for 6 hours, the Kum Tracer, and then it stopped for 12. Ozel shit, then it went for another 12 hours. The Kum Esrim v'arba, then it stopped for 24. And that's what the Pasuk says, V'le'otz lova Kiyom Tamid, the second time, the amount of time that it didn't move was 24 hours. Rashum ben Nachmani Yomer, Arba v'shmoina, that day was lengthened by 48 hours. Ozel shit, the sun went for 6 hours. Then the Kum, it stopped for Esrim v'Arba, it stopped for 24 hours. And then Ozel shit, it went for another 6 hours. And again, Kum for Esrim v'Arba, and then it stopped again for 24 hours. And this is because the Pasuk says, V'lo'otz lovoi kiyoyim tamim. And the Gemara is learning now, according to this version, that every time the sun stopped, every time the sun stopped, it stopped for the same amount of hours. What was the amount of hours it stopped every time? A full 24 hours. The Pasuk is saying that the second time and the first time, the amount of time it didn't move were equivalent. Mabi Asai, at the end of the day, it was Kiyom Tamim, it was for a full 24 hours, it didn't move. Afa Midasai, the first time, was also Kiyom Tamim for the amount of 24 hours. Says the Gemara, Tana, the Braisa teaches us, Shem Sha'am Dolaicham Yeshua, just like the sun, as we're learning now, stopped for Yeshua, Kach Amdolaicham LaMoshe, so too did this happen for Moshe Rabbeinu. And similarly, it stopped for Nagdimim Ben Gurion. The Gemara in Masechta Tainis tells us that Nagdimim Ben Gurion borrowed from one of the Roman people, 12 wells of water that they Klal Yisrael should have as they go up to Oil Regel. And he agreed to pay them back by a certain time. When the time came and there still wasn't any rain, so Nagdimim went into the Beis HaMikdash and he davened that there should be rain, and the rain came down. But the Hegman thought that the time for the repayment had already passed. And Nagdimim went into the Mispalo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nace for him that the sun came out again, and that this Hegman should not be able to say that the day had already ended. There is a fundamental discussion amongst the Achroinim. When our Gemara says the sun stopped, how are we to understand that? Doesn't mean, as we're learning figuratively, literally, that the sun stopped, but the Ein Yaakov says that the sun did not stop. There was light emanating from the sky, but never could be there a world where the sun actually stops. There's a question if the sun, because as we started the Shia saying that Yeshua wanted the sun to stop because he was concerned about Chilul Shabbos. If the sun was really going in the regular way, then how could he have avoided Chilul Shabbos? The Mefarshim point out, given the story that we just mentioned about Nagdimim Ben Gurion, where he said he would have the wells returned full of water, and now there was a question, did it come or not? The Sefer Michas Chitim says, what's the halacha if somebody makes up that he's going to pay up before the next day? But when does he have to pay up? And from here we see that he has to pay up before the Shkia, and that's why the sun had to come back. Rav Yoich Asya, says the Gemara, Yeshua, the story of Yeshua is Kroy. Nagdimim Ben Gurion, the story we know about Nagdimim Ben Gurion, is a Gemara. They had a Messiah. They knew that that's what happened. But the Gemara wants to know, L'moshe Menolan, the Gemara just said that the sun stopped for Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask the Gemara, where do we see this? Answers the Gemara, ask your Ochel Ochel. We have a Gzeir Shava. Ksiv Hocha by Moshe Rabbeinu, which says, Ochel Teis Partcha Al Pnei Amim. Ksiv Hossam by Yeshua, and the Pasuk says by Yeshua, Hayoim Azeh Ochel Gadlecha. So we learn a Gzeir Shava that just like by Yeshua, the sun stopped, so the same thing happened by Moshe Rabbeinu. So, of course, the Shach, in his Sefer HaTorah, asks, do we know that it happened by Moshe Rabbeinu because of Gzeir Shava? We know that it happened by Yeshua because it was an explicit pasuk. Asks the Shach, why does the Torah not say it explicitly by Moshe Rabbeinu as it says it explicitly by Yeshua? So he answers that by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no need for the pasuk to say it. Moshe Rabbeinu was a person that had nisim all the time. So that he experienced this nes as well is not really something that's a chiddush. Yeshua wasn't on that level. And that's why the pasuk has to say it explicitly by Yeshua. Rabbi Yoich Rama Asya Teis. The Gzeir Shava is Teis. Ksiv Hocha by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Ochel Teis. Pachtecha, v'ksib Yeshua B'yom Pesach Shemes Amori Lefnei Yisrael. And explains the Sefer Taras Chaim, why does Rabbi Yochanan prefer this Gzeirah Shava better than the Gzeirah Shava that we learned before? So he answers, the Pasuk of B'yom Pesach Hashem as Hamori is a Pasuk that's mentioned regarding this very episode that we're learning in our Shia today, the episode of Yeshua keeping the sun in the sky. The Pasuk of Ochel Teich Pastacha is not a Pasuk that speaks directly to this story, and therefore he preferred a Gzeirah Shava that is relevant to the subject at hand. The Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu itself teaches us that that's what happened. The Pasuk says, Hayom Azeh, Ochel Teich Pastacha Viroscha Al Pnei Amim, Tachas Kol Shemayim, Asher Yishmon Shemacha V'rozu V'rogz V'cholam Apanecha. Amosai, did that happen? When did it happen that all of the nations feared Moshe Rabbeinu? Amosai Rogz V'cholam Apanecha, B'shar Sh'am D'Lecham Ala Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu had the sun stand on the in the sky. Says the Gemara Meisvei, says the Gemara, how could it be, the Pasuk said that this happened both in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Nagdim and Ben Gurion. The Pasuk in Yeshua that speaks about the sun standing in the sky says, that this was an experience that never happened again. Answers the Gemara, Ibais Eima, Shasu Delay Nafish Kulehai, that even though the sun stopped for Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, but it didn't stop for the same length of time as it stopped by Yeshua. Vibay Seima, Avni Barad Lahava. When the Pasuk says by Yeshua, there also were hail coming down from Shemayim with tremendous nes, and that only happened in the time of Yeshua. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, when Yeshua went to battle with Amori, the Hebe Nasu B'mnei B'nei Yisrael, Heim B'moyed Beis Chorim, the Hashem Hishlach Aleim Avonim Gedolos B'nei Shemayim, Arazok of Yemuso. That was unique to Yeshua. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, when David laments the passing of Shaul and Yonason at war. The Pasuk says, V'yomed l'lamed b'nei Yehuda keshes, hineksuv al seif al yosher. The Pasuk says that now that Shaul and Yonason, who were such great warriors, passed away, we have to teach B'nai Yehuda how to hold battle with a bow and arrow. And as the Pasuk says regarding the B'nai Yehuda, that they are people that know how to keep battle that way. And the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk says that where is it stated this about Yeshevet Yehuda? It's stated in Sefer HaYosher. So ask the Gemara, what is the Sefer HaYosher that there it says this about the B'nai Yehuda? It says the Gemara, Amar Abchi Bar Abba, Amar Abiyachan, it's the Sefer Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. It's the Sefer Bereishis, which speak about Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Shnikru Yisharim, and we know that they're Yisharim from the Pasuk that Bilam said, the Ksibahu, Thomas Nafshi Moshe Yisharim V'tiyach Risei Kamayu. The Hecher Amiza, where does it say in Sefer Bereishis, ask the Gemara, the doubt that Shevet Yehuda will be the individuals who know how to do battle with the bow and arrow, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to Shevet Yehuda, he says, Yehuda ata yiducha achecha, yotcha ba'ayr ve'vecha, ve'eza mechama shetzricha yad keneged ayrf. What type of a weapon is the hand next to the back, says the Gemara, the facing the back. Have I mizakashus when you shoot a bow and arrow at your opponent? Rebbe Leza says that when we speak about the Sefer HaYashar, it's actually referring to Sefer Mishneh Torah, to Sefer Devarim. V'amai korale Sefer HaYashar. Why it's called Sefer HaYashar? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'asisa HaYashar V'atoiv B'enei Hashem. Says the Gemara, and how do we know that in that Sefer, that's what B'nai Yehud is about, that was saying that it stayed in Sefer Yashar. Hech Remiza, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in Sefer Dvarim, Yadav Yodov Ravloi. Eze Macham Shetricha Shtei Yadayim. The Pasuk says Rodov, speaks about both hands. Says the Gemara, it's referring, have Oyma Zakashas, that it requires a bow and arrow that you use both hands. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, yes, the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim Vasis V'yoshva Toiv. But does that make it that that's why Sefer Devarim is called Sefer Yesharim? Says the Gemara, says the Mashar, absolutely. The halacha of Vasis V'yoshva Toiv is so fundamental to our observance that the entire Sefer Devarim can be called Sefer Yesharim just to teach us the Midah of Yashrus is so essential to who we are that that's why it could be called Sefer Yashur. Shmuel ben Achmeni Omer that the Sefer Yashur actually refers to Sefer Shoftim. The Mike Carley Sefer Yashur. Why is it called Sefer Yashur? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, "V'yomim heim ein melech b'Yisrael." Esh Hayashur Bein of Yasa. Vecher Miza. And where does it say in that Pasuk anything about Shevet Yehuda with a bow and arrow? Because the Pasuk says, Laman Das Doris B'nai Yisrael, Lalam de Mechama, Eze Mechama Shetzrich Limud. What type of battle do you need to study to know how to do it properly? Says the Gemara, it's referring to Keshes. Umnalan, how do we know that pasuk is referring to Shevet Yehuda. Umnan de Yehuda, ksiv, the pasuk says, v'hi achrei mois, it says, at the beginning of Shoftim, v'hi achrei mois Yeshua, v'shal b'nei Yisrael b'ashem lemer, mi yal lana al kananim l'lochem b'ay, who should we rely on to do battle with the kanani? And the pasuk says, v'yoyim Hashem, the pasuk says, Yehuda Yala, it should be Yehuda. The Gemara quotes another machlokes Maroim. When Shaul went to search, before Saul was appointed to be king, the pasuk tells us he went to search for the donkeys that his father lost. And it says that he came to a place called Eretz Suf, and he ate with Shmuel. And the pasuk says, V'yorim hatabach es ha-shoik v'aliya v'yosom f'nei Shaul. The pasuk says that those were the pieces of meat that were put in front of Shaul. Ask the Gemara, "My valia, what is meant when it says valia?" Says the Gemara, "Reb Yochanan Amar, it means shoik v'alia, the shank and the tail portion that comes along." My valia, what does that mean? The samcha shoik l'alia, because the animal when it stands, the shank bone is supports the tail. Reb Lozheimer, what it means is the shoik, the shank, and the chaza, the breast. Maiva leh, says the Gemara, the machas lay lechaza alevei the shoik kibay anufei. Because when one puts the breast upon the shank, when he does tanufa, we know that many kabanas, the halacha is that we have to do tanufa on, and this is the way the tanufa is done, by doing the shaykh, put it the shaykh on the chazar, or manfalay, and then we wave it. Rashmu, Banachmeni, I'm a shaykh vishafi. The shaykh and the place that's on top of the thigh bone, my valia, shuf aliyah the shaykhai, because the tap of the thigh bone is on top of the shank. We learned in the Mishnah, loitus yachid ish imam, a woman may not be alone with the nachrim, because we're concerned that the Nachri will try to have relations with that woman. So now the Gemara drills down exactly what is the case that is being discussed. Ilayim b'chad, if we're talking about one woman and one Nachri, so ask the Gemara, the Kavasaga b'Yisrael Mishari, it seems the Mishnah is teaching us a special halacha that applies by Nachrim. But ask the Gemara, that's a halacha that applies even by Jews, the Tvatanan, the Mishnah Masechta Gedushin that Pei Amid Beis teach us that Lo Yisachet Isha Achodim Shtei Noshim. One man may not be allowed to be alone with two women because he may convince both of them to do an aveir with him. So if the halacha is that he's not allowed to be alone with two women, he certainly not allowed to be alone with one woman. So if he's certainly not allowed to be alone with one woman, then what is special that our Mishnah is teaching us applies to Nachron? Says the Gemara, Ela Batlosa. The Mishnah is going to say that what the Mishnah means to say is that one woman can't be alone with three Nachrim. Ask the Gemara, the Kavasaw Gav Yisrael Prutzu Mishari, would that be permissible that a Jewish woman should be alone with two men, with three men who don't act in a proper fashion? For Tanan, going back to that Mishnah in Masechta Kedushin, Avalisha Achas Meschedes B'Shnei Noshim, one woman may be alone with two men. Vamar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, and Rav Yehuda Mishmul in teaching us that halacha says, Lo Shanu, when is that halacha applicable? El B'ksheirim, with the two men that she's alone with, are men who act in appropriate fashion. Avo B'prutzim, but if the men don't act the way they're supposed to act, Afilu Asari Namiloi, then one woman, one Jewish woman, may not be alone even with 10 Jewish men if they're prutzim. And it's corroborated because Maisahoy, there was once a story with a woman who didn't act in appropriate fashion. Vitsua Sara Bemita. And 10 men carried her out in a bed to out of the community. And their goal with doing so was that once they were out of the community, they would act inappropriately. So, and as the Rishonim all explain, the concern is that a typical Nachri, we have to assume, is going to act in this fashion. So again, what is the Mishnah teaching us that we don't already know? And so the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, what we're referring to here is Be'ishtei Imai, when the Nachri's wife is there. And the Mishnah and the Halacha is teaching us that Oivik Achavim, that even though one of the Halachas of Yichud is that Ishtei Mishamatai, that if his wife is there, his wife acts as a buffer, a prevent to do any Avera. But when we speak about a Nachri, we don't have that Heter. Ein Ishta Mishamatai, we don't have the Heter of Ishta Mishamatai. But by Yisrael, we have the Halacha of Ishtai Mishamatai, that a wife is a good prevention, and therefore there is no problem of Yichud. There is a serious discussion in the Poskim when we speak about the heter of Ishta Mishamritai. How far do we take that heter? The question is that what's going to be if somebody's wife goes to sleep and he's alone in the home with a woman? Do we say Ishta Mishamritai or not? So the Shevet Alevi discusses the Shaila in Simon Reish Aleph Ois Dalad, and he says, it depends on the situation. If the wife took a sleeping pill and her chances of getting up are not that strong, then we can't rely on Ishta Mishamritai. But if there's always a concern that she's going to get up at any time, then the halacha is that we can rely on Ishta Mishamritai. But he also says that let's say there's a situation in a home where there's a wife and a husband, and the wife goes to sleep early on a regular basis. The husband goes to sleep late on a regular basis. And there's a woman, let's say there's a woman who works in the home. So his approach is that under those circumstances, we should not rely on a regular basis on Ishta Mishamritai. There's also a question, if we could rely on the heter of Ishtai Mishamritai, if we could rely on the heter of Ishtai Mishamritai in a case where it's not the wife. For example, we know that there is no problem of yichud with a mother. There is no problem of yichud with a daughter. So now the question that needs to be analyzed, if somebody is alone with his mother, if somebody's alone with his mother and another woman, do we say that just like there's no, how do we understand the heter of Ishtai Mishamritai? Do we understand the heter of Ishtai Mishamritai to mean that whenever one of the women who is there is a woman with whom there is no problem of yichud, there's no problem, then we could be lenient. And since, and just like with a wife, there's no problem with yichud. There won't be an issue with a mother who's there with somebody else, because if there's no issue of yichud with the mother, there's also no issue of yichud altogether. Or do we say, yes, there is no issa yichud with a mother, but we don't take it that far. And we only say that with the mother, there is no issa yichud, but the mother cannot play the role equal to the wife. And with the wife, then the halacha is that we should not rely on the heter. It's a big machlokes of paiskim. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes paiskim that are lenient with this question. So, ask the Gemara, but why is the entire discussion when we speak about being alone with a woman, being alone with a man, of question of yichud, but why aren't we concerned, asked the Gemara, but typically, mishum shvichas tamim. Why are we not concerned that we need to be concerned that the Nakri will do something to harm us? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yirmiya, the Mishnah speaking about isha chshuva skinen. Our Mishnah is speaking about a woman who is well connected with the government, and since she's so well connected with the government, then the halach is the mercy mina. He's concerned that he won't not to do anything to harm her. Ravidi Amar, isha kli zayin ilah. A woman is not concerned because she knows that if this man chas v'shalom wants to do something to her, he shall just agree to have relations, and that will have him back off. My benayu. So what's the nafkamina between these two approaches? Says the Gemara, ikka benayu ishach shav beir anoshim. When the woman is a very important woman, or she ain't chshuva beir anoshim, or she's not pretty. According to Rabbi Yirmiya, since if she's an important woman, we don't have to worry that he's going to do anything. And since she's not pretty, also, he's not going to do anything. But according to Rav Edi, because there's a concern that there's always a concern unless she's important that he's going to do something wrong. Tanika Vasa Rav Edi Baravan, Hayisha Abisha Shalom Imai, even if there's no concern that this Nakri will do anything to her, Lo Yisriyachir Imam should not remain alone with them. Neshech Shudim Al Arayis, we have to be concerned that they're going to do something inappropriate. We learned further, and that's like Rav Edi said, that even in the Nakri is going to have relations but won't kill her. So we learned further in the Mishnah, Yisachar Adam Imam, because a man should not be alone with a Nakri because we're concerned that they what they may do. Tanar Ban Yisrael Shnuz Damalai Ovi Kachavim Bederach. So the Gemara begins, what happens if a Yisrael is walking on the road, and he meets a Nakhri, and as we're learning now, there's a real concern that the Nakhri may do harm to the Jew. What should he do? Says the Gemara, what he should do is Toifloi Liyaminoi. He should keep the Nakhri to his right side. By keeping the Nakhri to the right side, so he has his right hand there, which is obviously the stronger hand, and that he'll be able to use to fend the Nakhri off. Shmuel ben Asher Rabbi Yochanan Mabreik Omer, Taifloi Mesayif, if the Nakhri is walking with a sword, Taifloi Liminoi, then the Yisrael should keep the Nakhri on his right side. Because again, what will happen is that if the Nakhri tries to raise the sword against the Yisrael, he'll be able to fend them off with his right hand. But the makel, if the Nakhri is walking only with a stick, Taifloi L'Smoilei, since the Yisrael is, if the, he should have, the Yisrael should keep him on his left side, that will give the Yisrael the ability to pick the stick with his left hand if the Nakhri raises the stick. Because if the Yisrael will keep, says Rashi, the Nachri on his right side, it'll be too far for him to reach. Says the Gemara further. If they're going up or down a mountain, we should never have a situation where the Yisrael is on the bottom and the Nachri is on the top. We should always have a situation where the Yisrael is lamala, moreover, the Yisrael should never bow down in front of the Nachri, because when he's in his position of bowing down, we need to be concerned the Nachri may smash his head. Furthermore, continues the Braisa, Shaloi, if the Nachri asks the Yisrael, where are you going? He should say he's going further than he's really going. That means if the Yisrael is traveling 1 mile, he should tell him he's traveling 2 miles. Because like that, the Nachri thinks, if the Nachri is planning on Chas V'Shalom attacking the Jew, the Nachri will think, I have plenty of time, because he still has time to getting to his destination. Kederach Shasu Yaakov Avinu L'Esav Rasha. Just like Yaakov Avinu did with Esav Rasha, when Esav invited Yaakov to travel with him, and Yaakov Avinu said, Yavana Adoni Lefnei Avdoi, V'ani Esnal L'Itoi, Ares Sha'ova Adoni Seira, V'Ksiv, V'Yaakov Nosa Sukasa. He never went all the way to Seir, but Esav thought that he was trying to go to Seir. I saw a very interesting story that's brought out in the Sefer Ben Ishchayel. There was a Jew who was unfortunately very poor, and it was hard for him to earn money wherever he lived. So what he did was, he went to work far away from where he lived, with his thinking being that he'll work over there, and he'll be able to earn enough money and bring that money home and have what to live on. And as he's traveling home, there was a bandit who encountered him and asked the man that he give the money, or if he won't give up all his money, he'll shoot him. And this person is crying and saying that, what a terrible, please don't do this to me. I worked so hard for this money. I need this money. And the bandit said, you're not going to get any rachmanis from me. You're not going to get any mercy from me. And he took the money. After he took the money, the man says to the bandit, you know, I'm going to come home after being away for so long and not having any money. And I'm going to say, well, I had the money and it was all taken from me. Nobody's going to believe me. So I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to hang my jacket up on the tree here, and I want you to please shoot bullets at it. That I'll have bullets in the jacket. It'll be a proof what happened. And this bandit said, "Okay, that I'll do for you." And he shot the bandits. Then he says, "You know, I really need to be able to convince my family that this happened. So I ask of you to shoot bullets into my hat." And he did it also. And then he was shooting, and it became obvious that he had no more bullets in his gun, and he was able to overpower him. So he said, that is what happens in our Gemara. He fooled him into believing. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when he learned this medrash, he said that actually there's an end to the story. Now, the bandit turned around to the victim and said, you turned me into the victim, you took away my money. And the question is, this is a general question, a difficult question, is somebody allowed to say something which is not absolutely true, but for a constructive purpose? I saw a question, for example, that there's a man married to a woman who has a difficult relationship with her mother-in-law. And because she has a difficult relationship with his mother-in-law, she doesn't want him to go visit his mother. Of course, he has a chiv of kibur ovein. And the question that the Cheshuki Chemer discusses is, if somebody, so he, when he goes to visit his mother at night, he actually tells his mother, he tells his wife, he doesn't tell her that he's going to visit his mother. What he does is, he tells her that I'm going to learn. And there's no question, it seems, that he's allowed to do that. That he's allowed to tell his mother, he's allowed to tell his wife, I'm going to learn in order for Shalom Bayis. But now the question is he obligated to go learn? Or is the fact that he's allowed to lie because of the circumstances, that's good enough? And he says, for example, that there was a person that used to come bother Rav Shlomo Zalman all the time. And Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that you could tell him something which isn't actually true. For example, what would happen was that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that you could tell him that I'm preparing a shiur, even though Rav Shlomo Zalman was laying down at that time, because it really wasn't a lie. Because he was laying down is a good way to prepare a shiur. Another question that he discusses, if somebody knows that there's a customer that every time he comes to the store, he wants to bargain, he wants to get a better price, and the storekeeper knows this person, and he therefore raises the price in order that the person will then bargain, and then will give him the right price. Is that called lying? And he says that that's not considered lying. And then he discusses a situation where somebody is running a gemach, a place where they lend money, and there's somebody who they don't want to lend money to because he has a bad track record of paying back or whatever the issue is. But they don't want to tell him explicitly, we don't want to lend you money. But they don't want to tell him explicitly, we don't want to lend you money. But they don't want to lend the money. So what could they do? So the question is, they say, we don't have money. But it's not really 100% accurate. They do have money. They don't have money for him. So when they say, we don't have money, is it equivalent to saying, we don't have money for you, but they didn't say the words for you? Is that going to be okay? Or is that considered saying something that's not true? And again, based on our Gemara, where the Gemara keeps on teaching us that if somebody's doing it for a fair reason and he's doing it kiyarchiv, the Gemara says it's permissible, and therefore he's lenient on all these questions. Continues the Gemara, Ma'aseh b'Talmid Rabbi Akiva, Shehalcha Ksiv, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva will go into Ksiv, Pogaman Listen. Amalam and these listen asked them, Anat Holchem, where are you traveling to? Amalam Lako, they said they're going to Akko. Kim Shigil Ksiv, Pirshu. The Tamidim stopped, went off the road by Ksiv. Amalam Tamidi Miyatem. Who are you Tamidim of? Amalam Tamidi Rabbi Kiva. Amalam, they said, Ashrei Rabbi Kiva Tamidov. Rabbi Kiva and Tamidim are so smart because they, it's like Pagabe Adar Rama Olam. With their wisdom, they were able to avoid getting attacked. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Menashe have a ozel lebe Teresa. Masha was going to a place called Beit Teresa, Pogabe Ganvi, and there were bandits that encountered him, Amalei Lan Kazlis, and they asked him, where are you going? Amalei Lepadisa, and he said, I'm going to Pabadisa. Kimatel Beit Torso, when he came to Beit Torso, Parish, Amalei Talmida de Yehuda Ramaat. You must be a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda, that you learned from Rabbi Yehuda, your Rebbe, to fool us. Amalei Yedisa Le, do you know him? Yerava, so he said that these people who acted this way should be in Chayrim. Because if you know Rabbi Yehuda, how are you talking about Rabbi Yehuda in such a way? Oslo Avda Ganavesa Esratat Nishnin, these Ganovim were doing acts of robbery for 22 years, and they were never successful. Kivin Dechazu, once they saw how unsuccessful they are, they all asked of Rabbi Menashe that he should absolve them of the cherem. There was amongst them one weaver, he did not come to have the cherem lifted. and he was eaten up by a lion. That the Hayin Damrinche Gind the Loitaisen, a weaver who's not modest, he's too arrogant to ask for the cherim to be lifted, shot the batsim in the shnei. His life is cut off. The way I sort of was trying to explain the Gemara is that the somebody who's humble and is able to ask for mechila will have long life, and this person, because he was a weaver, and the way I sort of Arachama explains, weavers was considered in those times a very lowly profession, and somebody who was a weaver who had this lowly profession never was able to properly develop the characteristic of anova, of being modest. Tochazi says the Gemara in the final comment, Ma ben Ganvi Bavel, the Ganovim Bavel who met Rab Menashe, the listen that's a throw, they when they met Rab Menashe, they spoke so disparagingly about Rabbi Yehuda, whereas the listen of Eretz Yisrael, when they met the Talmid Rabbi Kiva, they spoke highly of Rabbi Kiva. And we see from here how special Eretz Yisrael is, that even the Ganovim of Eretz Yisrael are more refined than the Ganovim of Bavel.